So I'm Mona Christensen. I've been to Myanmar since 2001. This was my seventh trip. Between 2001 and 2008, I went six times, and it was kind of the beginning stages of building an orphanage, and even at my starting point, that orphanage was already 5 years old. Next year, they're going to be celebrating 20 years. Kind of amazing. And so I get in on this early stage, and then I have a 6.5-year gap, and I was completely blown away as to what's going on there. Some of it has to do with a democracy that's forming there. You may have heard in the news all of this, the terrible military-type government and terrible, inhumane things going on there. But because they moved the democracy leader of the country into a council on this board, things are opening up. I mean, some of the early things that we discovered like a year and a half ago were they're on Facebook, and Gmail isn't being blocked, and it wasn't until I got there last week that I was like, whoa, what has happened to this place? So not only have things changed economy-wise and just a freeing, but the growth that's happening with these orphans in Christianity is just really quite remarkable. So anyway, we're going to get going here. I got back last Saturday night. I can't believe I played my flute last Sunday. I still can't believe I did that because I don't know if I was all here or not. But anyway, we're just going to start with, this is actually a sign that's in right downtown Yangon. And the whole story with Myanmar and Burma has to do with, it really does have, you can see where, see Yangon right there? Okay. When it was called Burma, that capital was called Rangoon. Okay, and then there was this terrible uprising in 1988, and the government would not relinquish power to democracy. So they decided if they changed the name, people might forget. So they changed it to Myanmar, and the capital is now called Yangon. And depending upon where you get your plane ticket determines what the name of the city is. So that's kind of funky. But so anyway, we flew from Chicago, actually from Green Bay to Chicago, all the way over the top. Actually, we flew underneath right here. The Aleutian Islands were over there, and we went down through Russia, and then we went to Hong Kong. That particular flight was 14 hours and 35 minutes, and then we had a two-hour layover and then 3 more hours on the plane to Myanmar. But it was awesome. We didn't have to stay in a hotel, and it was about 20 hours in the air. We got there at 1 in the morning. We got to bed at 1:45. I slept 7 hours. We were on the road ready to go at 10 a.m. It was amazing. So God is good. This is the team, and this is after that crazy flight. So the six of us look pretty good, actually, and we're standing in front of the chapel that is brand new, and there's a little story with that, too. Peter Thang is the director of the orphanage, and little by little, over the years, churches have gotten behind this project, and money from churches have come in, and they've built dorms, they've built dining halls, they built little chapels, they built a house, they do all these things, they brought property that was like outrageous, over the top, no way could they afford a $30,000 number of acres, now is worth $100,000. So these assets are growing in value, and what we're planting in seed is just exponentially revved up, and it's just really, really amazing. So Peter, with cash, would only go forward with cash. We're like, well, we're gonna build this thing. There is no such thing as credit there. You don't buy a house with a mortgage. You don't buy a car with a credit card. You don't have any credit cards or no payment plans. When you buy a cell phone, you buy the phone for $500 and it's forever. Data, texting, phone calls, this whole thing. That's why my phone didn't work over there. But anyway, this is the front of the chapel, and you can see, you talk about alive worship, you know, and this is the coolest part about being a Christian and on fire for God, and you get a team that goes in there, and you walk in this place, and whoa, the kids are just singing, and they're just praising God, and you can see some of the pictures up here where the kids are here, they're worshiping at the altar, they actually have their own little worship band, and you can see they know about Hillsong out of Australia, and they know about, you know, Hillsong United. This is actually a teaching time right here with the little kids at a different orphanage, and this is just like a fellowship time. But We just had such a good time. This particular trip was different in that we were able to venture out a little bit. And, you know, having been there in the beginning years and then being able to come back with this gap, God has put this vision for orphans and Jesus in the hearts of these kids. And now the original orphans are running their own orphanages. So some of these kids, I was like, oh my gosh. So there's a little, I've got tons of stories, but Amos was one of the original orphans, but his mom was Rebecca's sister, and that's Peter's wife. And so we went in there, we were doing games like this, and it was really funny, and we just had a really good time. They said, oh, would you come and pray for my mom? And, well, yeah, of course. So the six of us go in this room, and here is Rebecca's sister, Sui Ken, if you can remember that name. Sui, S-U-I-K-E-N. Sui Ken has throat cancer. So she had two incisions here, and they had done surgery, removed most of the tumors. But I'm like, we're talking healthcare Burma, okay? We're talking healthcare Burma. And we're just praying, and I walked in the room, and she, Mona, she remembered me from, you know, way back, and grabbed me and started weeping, and we're just holding her, and it was just awesome. There were divine appointments every single day. We got up. I was WhatsApping with our son Paul and Skyping with Dave once we finally got that figured out. And I mean, but then once we took off, it was like, whoa, here we go. We're on course, on a mission. Now you're going to see little projects here with like paper and markers and little bands of things. Oh, I want to go back a second. Not chicken themes yet. All of that stuff we had to bring. I mean, there wasn't anything there. So we had to bring the paper, bring the markers, bring the crazy bands, bring art, bring all of this stuff. So many of us had second suitcases filled with all kinds of things to do. Imagine art projects for $165. So there you go. And then, now I don't know if this is going to go or not. Yesterday this actually ran. Can you click on that video? Does that work for you? Well, anyway, there's a chicken dance. Okay, and they're playing the chicken game, and when the music stops, that they're out. But it was really quite funny because even they laugh at the stupid humor of a chicken. And we pass the chicken, and if you get the chicken, you got to kiss the chicken and give and pass it on. So if you drop the chicken, you kiss the chicken. It was just hilarious. I mean, and so in this culture of, you know, like, whatever, we're making them kiss a rubber chicken, and they're just like so embarrassed, hilariously funny, and we just had a really good time. So they did banners because, get this, they have 800 to 900 eggs a day. Some churches got behind this thing, and, you know, it's all about sustainability, right? It's not just about money. You've got to be planting seed money so that they can sustain themselves. And you're going to see that throughout this whole thing, 800 to 900 eggs a day. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing with all those eggs? Well, we're selling them. So those eggs are buying the feed, which are, you know, making things work. And there are the chickens, or at least some of them. And like Abraham said, they don't lay eggs anymore, dead chicken. So they have chicken for lunch. Okay. This right here is Benjamin, and he is one of the original orphans, and he's working at the orphanage and oversees quite a lot at things administratively. When teams come with medicine, there was actually there's a nurse who came and brought everything from cortisone salves to, you know, whatever, even some prescription things that people had just given her, which I know for sure is illegal. But, you know, antibiotics, whatever, so if there were things that they needed, he has the key, and he opens things up for us to get in there. And for kids who have bites or whatever, they can be cared for. One of the craft projects was God's Promises, so we did the rainbow thing. It's amazing what you can do with paper plates. And then we made a tambourine thing. So one of the songs that they did, they were just bopping. You know, they don't have it was actually filled with popcorn that had broken in somebody's suitcase, but, you know, we made it work. So anyway, this is really, really cool. This little girl right here is Chacha Ren. At this point, she's about 7. My first year there, she was 5, and she knew no English. and I came in with 150 recorders and doing music classes and all kinds of different things. We had stations all over the place, and this little girl who knew no English was, I think, looking for lice in my hair and was singing Jesus Loves Me in my ear with the most perfect pitch I've ever heard on a little girl. I was just stunned. And my heart just broke for her, you know. And if you can, I don't know if you can see the little skinny arms right here of her sister. They're just like half the size of a normal arm. Tiny, tiny, tiny bones. Some of it, I'm sure, is malnutrition. But anyway, that was years ago. Her sister now is back in their home village. And Chacha Ren, this person right here, is this little girl. And she is now 18, and she knows English, and she's in the Bible college. And, oh, it was such a gift for me to be able to see this evolution of faith that's just growing with these kids, and they're going back into their home villages if they have extended family as Christians and spreading the gospel message. So I don't want to forget one thing while I'm here today, but this isn't to say that there isn't persecution in this country. I don't know if you follow me on Facebook, there is an issue going on in Chin State where the Buddhists are upset that there's a huge cross on somebody's personal property and they want to cut it down. I mean, it's so huge, it's at the top of a hill that people can see it for miles and miles away. They've put lights on it and it has tiles. So, you know, even with the sun it reflects and all this stuff, well, it just grinds them that there's a cross on somebody's personal property and they want to cut it down. So people from the orphanage, Bible college kids, and some of the leaders are heading up to Chin State to try to negotiate this before it gets out of hand and violent. But we really need to pray, because as these kids become saved and on fire for God, they're going to have resistance. You know, this country is Buddhist and they don't want anything to do with Christianity. So anyway, okay, yeah, here are just a couple more pictures. This young man took my luggage every day. King Lee Key is his name. Little creative little character. Happy, the happiest little smiley kid of, just one of those happy kids, you know. This was a hoot. We did slip and slide. And somebody brought a towel, and somebody brought soap. And look at the joy on these faces, it was just really incredible. And it was a good 45 minutes of just nothing but laughter. And it was just joy, you know. Just we had such a good time with these kids. And this is one of the banners they did, you know. We did thank you for the chickens, happy birthday Tracy, who's Pastor Dennis Nonnemacher's daughter. He's the head of Going Global. I was part of a team of six, of which one gal was from Wisconsin, another gal from Wisconsin, and four people from Indiana. So, and, you know, just smiley kids. This is some of the scenery going on. Poverty, run down. The further away you get from the city, the more and more rough it gets. The roads get worse. Everything is like open air. So if you wouldn't dare buy anything cooked. Actually, you really wouldn't dare buy much of anything because you don't know what's on that stuff. But, you know, then there's just been an explosion with this government of releasing things. So Japan is involved, Australia's involved, New Zealand's involved. They're just getting in there because they see the opportunity for commerce. So what used to be a monthly wage of $30 a day is now about $200. $30 a month is now $200 a month. So that's grown big time. And for people who are, like, if you drive a bus, for example, and there are tons of them, it's about $7 a day. So that's pretty good, I mean, in that economy. So we were just floored at the emerging markets downtown and the congestion of cars. And you can see that they're all mostly white cars. So that's kind of funky. It's like, yeah, you can have a car, but you have two choices, white and gray. And it was, you know, there's a lot of pollution. It's they drive on the same side we do, but the driver's on the other side. So they're not close to the line. They're opposite the line. So imagine trying to pass. So you can't, I mean, you can't see. So the person in the passenger seat's like the navigator. Or you go the other way, but that's illegal. But they don't enforce, they say the speed is supposed to be 35, but nobody goes 35. So you're going like, just like a bat out of hell, you know, like this. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and then a dog crosses the street. And at one point I was like, oh my God. And they look like kung fu from the front seat, but the dog lived and nobody got hurt. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if we went over the dog or not. One of the super blessings I had when we were there this time was the opportunity to be part of a widow's day. And we taught in the morning, and we provided, you know, we did teaching, and my topic this year was on the Sumanite woman in 2 Kings and how she was so desperate for God. And, you know, you think, well, these women are 60s, 70s, 80s, one of the gals with 96. And, you know, you got to think, they're probably thinking, well, why am I here? You know, I have to be taken care of. I can't support myself. All of this, but I'm like, you know, there's a purpose here, and if you are desperate for God, like this woman was desperate for God, even when the circumstances were awful, she would still answer the question, how are you? She would say, it is well. And here she's on the road to run after the man of God, and people would stop her, it is well, it is well. She was speaking faith into her circumstances, even though she knew that her son was dead. So we just went into this whole thing and talked about faith, and one of the gals here, this is, I think you can see her, Tasha's right here. Three of the people were 23 from this Indiana church, all on fire for God kids. And she was talking about God working through her and building up her faith for this trip and how all along the way it worked out. And she never even imagined she'd be in a place like this, and there she was. So then we finished up with prayer and intercessory prayer and how their prayers are a sweet aroma to God. They're so precious, he's even collecting them in golden bowls. And I brought little vials of fragrance for them that I had made in essential oils. They've got this little gift bag. It was hilarious, actually. They opened the bag, and right away it was in their noses, on their faces, you know. And they're like this, and they're all smiling. And I'm like, do you like? And they're like, yes! You know, it was so funny. But it was really, really sweet. And I brought oyster crackers for communion, and sure enough, they had the little communion cups there, and we found grape juice in the market, sealed, of course, and we served all that, and there were some Buddhist gals in the room, and we just, you know, taught the salvation message, and we had communion, and Elijah, who, now I don't know if you can see him on this shot, I think it's coming up, actually runs a widow's home. One of the original orphans runs a widow's home in a preschool, and 13 of the women in this group are from his home. So it's just really amazing. This woman right here is 96. Can you even believe it? She walked, Elijah's place is right behind Love Children Home, so it's about a 5-minute walk on a dirt path. And the ladies came, and look at this gal right here. This is a Down syndrome widow, and she remembered Dennis, we call him Poo-Poo. Poo-Poo is grandfather, Pee-Pee is grandmother, I know. I know, it's hilarious. And I said, you know, I'm old enough, I could be Pee-Pee too, and they said, no, you're junior Pee-Pee. So it was pretty funny. But it was really awesome, and she's 96 years old, and this next shot, this is Elijah, one of the original orphans. And we know what's cool about this kid? He was a smiling kid when he was little. Like just like this Keeley King was just smiles all the time, this was a smiley kid. He was the gate opener and closer. So beep, beep, open the horn, he'd open up the gate, and he'd be like this, smiling. He'd be so happy we're driving in. And then he'd close the gate. So we went from gatekeeper to Bible college to the operator of a woman's home and a preschool. He's just really, really special. And this is the preschool group right here. They were singing if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, in English. So they're trying to teach these kids English from early on. It's just really, really sweet. This is the path that we were walking on. I'm right there. There's Elijah on the way. And this is actually a widow's room right here. There are three. I mean, obviously, it's like camping, right? But at least they're off the floor, and they are being cared for. They have meals every day, and all of that. So this is funny. We were downtown talk about dichotomy. You go from, whoa, and then you get to what is kind of like the Burmese Walmart. We even found Pringles. Pringles! And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. So then I found New Zealand apples. We know we have New Zealand apples here. They're about 50 cents a pound there, which is an enormous amount of money for that economy. But anyway, we found apples. I found oatmeal, flour, sugar, cinnamon. So I made apple crisp in their microwave. So they were like, whoa. I said, you could do this. I'll show you. So that's what we did on the last day for lunch. So that was fun. These are just some cute kid pictures. Goofiness. You know, they get a hold of stickers and you're just peppered. This is the loom house. This is Poopoo Dennis in the loom house. Now, some of these things that you see sprawled right here on these chairs have to do with some of the things that they're weaving. Initially, in the early years, they were doing things like this. This is a table covering, or I cut it in half and just use it on small tables. You can use placemats, whatever. And they were doing these kinds of bags, kind of the hobo bags. Okay, now they're doing blankets, amazing woven blankets, super lightweight. I got to show you this piece of fabric. But anyway, this has come a long way from one loom to a room full. I don't know if you can see the depth of it, of what's going on there. This kind of gives you just the scope of the size of each loom. They're huge. And there she is, individually tying all of those colors. It's just unbelievable. But they're just gorgeous. Oh, and then there's Popcorn Day. I brought popcorn to Burma. It's me. It started in 2001 with like 5 pounds. I think we popped 12 pounds this time. People brought it along, and we have all these huge bowls. And now they even serve them in the paper plate that's stapled. You know, so you actually have like a little bowl. Otherwise, it was in their shirt. So they have signs like this up all over the place, little God's promises, you know. And it's just a reminder, this place is just oozing the love of God. It just oozes it. Teams come from all over the country multiple times a year, at least 4 or 5 times a year there's somebody there. And I was just so blessed that I was able to go this time with a team. You know, just never felt like I was supposed to during this gap. But, man, it was just so perfect. This is a team. At dinner, we only ate at one restaurant called Million Coin because nobody ever got sick there. So that was the default. And it was awesome food. You know, there was like a soup up here, and this is like lemon chicken and a lemon sauce. This is, oh, the best stir for a cashew pineapple. Oh, my goodness. And this is a super hot sweet sour pork. Wow. It was like way good. And, okay, I had to take a picture of McDonald's in Hong Kong. I'm like, come on, you guys. But they couldn't wait. I'm like, I'm not doing it. But they wanted to eat. And I have just one more slide of the Hong Kong airport. So that was really quite amazing. I'd never seen that either. So anyway, it was just such a blessing for me to be there every day. There was something that came up every day. And like Chow Chow Ren, I said to her, do you have a cross necklace? And she said, no. Well, I want you to have mine, so I gave her mine, you know. So I'm sure she's wearing it today, you know. It'd be like one of those forever things. The orphanage is 20 years old next year, so they're going to try to do a year-long celebration. So when teams come, they're going to try to make a big deal about it. And if you guys are interested, I've got calendars at the front. They're $10 each. I'm sending the money back to the orphanage. But it's a 2015 calendar that has pictures of the beginning and what's going on there now. And it's one way of supporting them. And I want to open it up for questions. If you guys are interested in asking something. Are these for sale? No, but if you want something like that, I can make arrangements. Because there are teams that are coming and going, and they come back with suitcases filled with these. So, if you are interested, let me know, and I'm sure we can work something out. Yeah. Yep. There still are sanctions, but I suspect things are going to be opening up. Obama was there slowly opening up. And I think once they see that commerce is changing that country, you know, the U.S. may get behind it. And what I would love to do, I tried doing this, but I was stopped because I was going to do it legally. I wanted to get a fair trade thing going with these products here. Oh, that'd be the most awesome thing. And that would be really sustaining that place. So between the chickens, oh, and they have pigs too. They have chickens and pigs, but this is gross. I have to tell you this, it's gross. Okay, so the pigs, they're cute little baby pigs. They're like, I don't know, this big. They're not very big yet. And they're messy, you know, and they stink. So they have these hoses set up, and, you know, the grade of the cement goes like on an angle so that you can spray the mess away. But guess where the mess goes? A fish pond. Oh. And we went, no, you're not eating that fish, are you? Well, yes. And we went, oh, we're not eating pig poop fish. So that there's pig poop in that water. And they were like, yes. And we're like, no, we don't eat pig poop water and fishing out of that water. But that they don't, oh my gosh, that was unbelievable. That was like, blah. So anyway, somebody had a hand up. Yeah. There's an organized parachurch called Going Global, and they're out of Indiana. And Pastor Dennis Poo Poo is a friend of mine. I was on staff with him at Bayside when he was the missions pastor there. So when he left and came up with his own nonprofit, he's connected indigenous churches all over the country to the West. Or I said that incorrectly. The Western churches to the indigenous churches overseas. So he's actually in Nepal right now. He left Myanmar, went to Nepal, hooked up with another team, and I've already been to the Andaman Islands with him too. So it's pretty amazing. So, well, I just want to thank you all for supporting me. I know I was being prayed for. You know, there was never one iota of fear the whole way. We did not have any glitches, maybe a half hour here and there on a flight thing, whoopee dip, you know, big deal. But I slept so good. I was sleeping 10 to 6 over there right away. I mean, the second night I had no jet lag, never hit a wall, came back, was ready, sleeping 7 hours, 8 hours, you know, I never had a problem that way. There was just no fear, knew exactly what to do. We were, you know, cautious, but we weren't paranoid, you know. It was really, really wonderful. So for your prayers and your support financially and what we've been able to plant there has been just dynamic, and it continues to change. So I just want to ask that you keep praying for them and that country, and hopefully that sanctions are lifted so that we can, you know, get some things going there even more so. So thank you very much.